This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So this was with regard to the children. What about the parents? What if now a child dies and the parents are going to inherit from that child? What if the deceased is a child? Or let's say it is an adult, but you know, he dies and his mother is still alive. Sometimes it happens, right? That the young 30-year-old man is dying, but his 60-year-old mother is alive. So she gets to inherit from her deceased son. All right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَ السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٍ. This is the full sentence. وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ, and for his two parents. Whose two parents? The deceased. Okay, the dead person. And his doesn't just mean it's talking about a man. This also applies to the woman because the pronoun is referring to the deceased. So for both parents, لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا, for each one of them too, meaning for the mother is a separate share and for the father is a separate share. Okay? What is the share of each? السُّدُس, the sixth. So the mother gets a sixth and the father also gets a sixth. From what? مِمَّا تَرَكَ, of what he left. Who left? The deceased left. But this is in the case where, إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدْ, if he had a child. Yani, if the deceased also left a child. Okay? So imagine a son dies, 30-year-old man dies, leaving behind a 2-year-old daughter, for instance, and also parents. So the parents will get what? A sixth each. What about the daughter? What will she get? She will get what was mentioned above. In the case where there's only one daughter, what does she get? Half, right? So, وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَ السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٍ. So let me repeat this. If a person dies leaving parents and children, then for each parent, mother and father, is a sixth. They're not sharing a sixth. Each is getting a sixth. How much will the children get? The share of the son is equal to that of two daughters. And if it is only one daughter, she will get half. If there are two or more daughters, they will share in two-thirds. If there's only sons, they will get what is left over after the share of the parents. Okay? So this is the case where the deceased leaves parents and children. فَإِن لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ وَلَدْ, if he has no children, yani the deceased does not leave behind any children. He is only leaving parents. وَوَرِثَهُ أَبَوَاهُ, and his parents inherit from him, meaning they are the sole heirs. فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثُ, then for his mother is a third. So what's happening over here? The deceased has no children, only parents. Then the mother will get a third, and the remainder, all of it, will go to who? To the father. So the two-thirds will go to who? To the father. All right? فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثُ. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ. Now, this was the share of the parents in the absence or presence of children. What about if the deceased has siblings, living siblings? Okay? Does that affect the share of the parents? It does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ, if he has brothers. Okay? فَلِأُمِّهِ السُّدُسُ, then for his mother is a sixth. Okay? His mother is a sixth. And the share is different now. So, if the deceased has no children, but leaves parents and brothers, then the mother gets a sixth, and all of the remainder will go to the father. You need 5 parts of 6 will go to who? To the father. And a sixth will go to who? To the mother. So basically what's happening is that in the presence of brothers, the share of the mother will reduce, and the share of the father will increase. Okay? But the brothers will not get anything. Why? Because the father is alive. The father is the hajib. The father becomes a barrier. Okay? What if the deceased has sisters? The ayah mentions brothers, right? But what if he leaves sisters or brothers and sisters? It makes no difference whether the siblings are male or female or both, full siblings or half siblings. Doesn't matter. If the deceased leaves siblings, then the share of the mother will reduce and the share of the father will increase. Okay? What's the wisdom in that? Because now, through the father, the siblings will inherit. Right? When the father will die, then his sons and daughters will inherit from him. Okay. Now, what if the father is not there? What if the father is not alive? So, for example, a man dies, okay, leaving no children and only his mother and, let's say, two brothers. Okay? The father is not there. Then what happens? According to this ayah, we see that the mother gets a sixth. What about the remainder? The remainder will now go to the siblings. Okay? The remainder will now go to the siblings. In the absence of the father, the siblings will inherit the remainder. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the custom in old days was that the property of the deceased would be inherited by his offspring. Okay? This was the tradition. The children would inherit. And the parents would only inherit by the will of the deceased. Yani, if the deceased made a particular will for the parents, only then the parents would inherit. So this was the initial custom. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cancelled from that custom whatever he wished and fixed for the male double the amount inherited by the female, yani when it comes to children, and for each parent a sixth, and for the wife an eighth or a fourth, and for the husband a half or a fourth. So this is also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, that the parents also inherit from their children. Now this division of the estate, when will this happen? It will happen مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِي بِهَا أَوْدَيْن. After a wasiyya, yani a bequest, meaning the fulfillment of bequest, يُوصِي بِهَا, he bequeaths it, meaning the dying person made that will, okay, أَوْ دَيْنٍ, or a debt, a loan that he owes. So basically, the distribution of the inheritance will only occur after any will is fulfilled and any loan is paid off. So remember that there are four hukuk, four rights related to mirath, related to the estate. The first right on the estate is of the deceased. Okay? And when a person dies, leaving behind his wealth, his estate, or her estate, first and foremost, they have a right over that estate. How? Any burial expenses, the kafan, the shroud, the taqseel, the washing of the body, the payment for the grave, all of that will be taken from where? From the estate of the deceased. So the deceased has the first right. So imagine a person dies, leaving behind, let's say, $100,000, for instance. Okay? And the burial costs, the grave, all of that is, let's say, $5,000, for instance. So, first and foremost, the burial expenses are going to be covered. They're going to be paid off. Okay? Then, the remainder, $95,000, will be divided among the heirs. Okay? So, that's the first haqq. The second haqq, the second right, is of the creditor. Okay? Meaning, if the deceased has any debts that he owed, all right, then those debts have to be paid off before the estate is divided among the heirs. Now, the debts that the deceased owes could be towards Allah, and they could also be towards people. What are debts that a person could owe Allah? For example, zakat has to be paid. Okay? For instance, a person dies 11 months after they last paid zakat. Okay? Zakat, or let's say, yani, they have an orchard of date palms. Okay? Now, on the harvest, zakat is due. Okay? So any zakat that is payable has to be paid off. Okay? Let's say he was intending to perform his obligatory hajj. Okay? He could afford to do it, and he was intending to perform obligatory hajj. He wanted to do it, but he died. Well, hajj is a right of Allah. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. And according to many scholars, the payment of the hajj has to be taken out of the estate. So hajj badal will be done on behalf of the deceased, and the payment of that will come from the estate of the deceased. Likewise, if the deceased had made any nadr, any vow, or they have to pay some kafara, some kind of fidya for fasting, not being able to fast, right? So all of these are debts that a person owes Allah. They have to be paid off. So now you have 95,000. From that 95,000, you have to pay off any debts owed to Allah. What about debts owed to people? They also have to be paid off. Among these debts is what? Literally a loan that a person has taken. It has to be paid off. Let's say he had borrowed $20,000 from a friend. That has to be paid off. Let's say there are bills now, phone bill, internet bill, or his car was on lease. He has to pay taxes. All of that amounts to another 20,000. So now 40,000 is going into paying off debts. So 45,000 is already gone. Now, the third haq is in regard to the wasiyah. Let's say in his life, he made a will that 10,000 of his estate should be given in charity. Okay? Or 10,000 of his estate should be given to a friend in the case where he dies. All right? So now that 10,000 has to be given. If he made a will, that will has to be fulfilled. But there are rules concerning the will, the wasiyah. And we have learned about that earlier in Surah Al-Baqarah, but I will review that basically. When it comes to a wasiyah, there's two main things. First of all, you cannot make a will in favor of an heir. So for example, a person cannot say, when I die, $10,000 should be given to my son. No. Your son will get his fixed share, not an additional 10,000. Okay? So wasiyah is only for who? A non-heir. It can be for a relative, but a relative who is a non-heir. So for instance, if a person has a child whom he has raised, and that child is not his biologically, let's say he adopted the child, can he make a wasiyah in favor of that adopted child? Yes, he can. All right? But the second thing is that the wasiyah has to be less than a third of one's total wealth. Okay? It has to be less than a third of one's total wealth. It cannot be more than that. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that الثُّلُثُ كَثِيرٌ, that a third even is a lot. And this is why actually the companions liked that the wasiyah should only be up to a fifth of one's total wealth. Not even a quarter, but a fifth. And the reason why they said a fifth is because khumus, the fifth, is for Allah and His Messenger, as we will learn in Surah Al-Anfal. So they said that we like what Allah and His Messenger have taken for themselves. So anyway, these are two rules regarding wasiyah. Okay? And the other thing is that if the estate is very little to begin with, okay, then the wasiyah will not be fulfilled. Yani some changes will have to be made. And we have learned about this earlier, that if there is a wasiyah that causes more damage, right, in خَافَ مِن مُوسٍ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا, then some kind of change has to be made. So this is the third haq. Now the fourth haq is of the heirs, the mirath. And these are the fixed shares of the designated heirs, okay? And the division of the estate will be done at the end, because this was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam qada bid-dayni qabla al-wasiyah. He fulfilled the debt, he paid off the debt before fulfilling the wasiyah, the will, and then the estate was divided among the heirs. Okay, so these are the four huquq. And when it comes to paying off the debts of the deceased, many people take this matter lightly. Remember that if a man, for example, has bought a house on mortgage, that is a loan that he has taken, okay? And that has to be paid off in order for the estate to be divided among the heirs. But many people don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. Subhanallah. And this is great dhulm, because the Prophet ﷺ said, the soul of the believer is suspended because of his debt until it is paid off. And what this means is that the soul is detained. It is not allowed to reach its reward in the barzakh, or that no judgment is passed as to whether it will be saved or doomed. And the soul does not know where it's going to go. It's detained until the debt is paid off. Subhanallah. So the heirs must be very careful. They should not become selfish over here and not pay off the debts. They should pay off the debts first and then take their shares. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually refused to pray the janazah of a person who owed debt. Subhanallah. There is a hadith in which we learned that Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu reported that when a man was brought to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any for janazah prayers, any so that his janazah is performed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, did he leave behind any debt? The people said, 2 dinar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did he leave anything behind in order to pay it off? And the people said, no. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, you guys pray. And you pray for your companion, I am not going to pray his janazah. So Abu Qatada said that, O Messenger of Allah, I will take responsibility, I will pay off his debt, please pray for him. So the Prophet ﷺ performed the funeral prayer for him. And Abu Qatada said that every time the Prophet ﷺ met me, he asked me, have you paid it off on his behalf? And I would say, not yet. And it went on until he met me one day and I said, I have paid it off. And the Prophet ﷺ said, now his skin is cooled off. Astaghfirullah. Debt is something that is not even forgiven from the martyr. So when we owe something to someone, first of all, we should make sure that it's known to the people around us so that when we die, and death comes suddenly, right? When we die, they know that they have to pay off our debt. Subhanallah. Allah says, أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ. Your fathers and your sons, meaning your children. Aba, fathers, this includes, meaning the plural form includes mothers as well, yani your parents. وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ and your children. Yani in regard to them, لَا تَذُرُونَ, you all do not know, أَيُّهُمْ, which of them, أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعَ, is nearer to you all in benefit. Yani the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided who the heirs should be and what their shares should be is because you are not in a position to decide who should get what. Because you don't know who is going to be of more benefit to you. For example, a person might think that my parents should get more than my children. They are in need. Or they are more righteous. My children will waste my wealth. Right? They will waste it on coffee. They will waste it on drinks. They will waste it on eating out. They will waste it on clothes. They will waste it on the internet bill. Things like that. They're wasteful. My parents are actually in need. So their share should be more than that of my children. Right? Or that my parents are righteous. If they inherit more of my property, they will at least spend it in a good cause so that I will continue to benefit. They will give sadaqah on my behalf and things like that. But the thing is, you don't know. You don't know who will really be of benefit to you. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it to you to decide how much to give to each heir, then you would be in great difficulty, right? Because you don't know the future of people. Your son might appear to be very wasteful today, but tomorrow, when you're gone, maybe he becomes very responsible. Maybe he becomes very religious, more religious than your own parents. So you don't know who's going to be of more benefit to you, and this is why Allah has relieved you of the responsibility to decide which heir should get how much. This is something that Allah Himself has decided because you don't have complete knowledge. Allah is the only one who has complete knowledge. So this is the answer to, you know, people wanting to use their own discretion to decide how much, you know, an heir should get or not get. Sometimes, you know, a person does not want a certain heir to inherit from them. And this is again not right. These are shares that Allah has fixed in His perfect knowledge. فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. A true obligation from Allah. Meaning this has been obligated by Allah as an obligation which you cannot avoid. You cannot take this matter lightly. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Indeed, Allah is ever knowing, ever wise. So these fixed shares of inheritance where one person's share is greater than another's, this is a commandment from Allah. A commandment, and it's been decided and ordained by Allah. And Allah is knowing. He has knowledge and He is wise. So this is based on His perfect knowledge and wisdom, which you do not have. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ, and for you, نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ, is half of what your wives leave. Now the address is to the husbands. So the first ayah speaks of the inheritance of children and parents. Okay? This ayah is talking about the share of spouses. Okay? And remember, there are three causes of inheritance. Nasab, Musahara, and Wala. So Nasab, we are done. Now Musahara. Okay? Now remember that the husband and the wife both inherit through Fard. Fard as in their shares are fixed. They don't change. They don't inherit through Tawseeb as in residual. The share of the husband is fixed. The share of the wife is also fixed. Okay? And these shares are Nisf, Rubur, and Thumun. half, quarter, or eighth. Okay? The husband, in any case of mirath, will inherit either half or quarter. The share of the husband is either half or quarter, depending on the case. And the wife, her share is quarter or eighth. Okay? So let's look at the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَكُمْ, and for you, the address is to the men, the husbands. Is nisfu, half, of ma taraka, of what left, who left, azwajukum, your wives. But this is in the case where, إِلَّمْ يَكُلْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدْ, if they do not have children. So imagine, a woman dies, leaving behind a husband. So the wife has died. How much will the husband receive from her estate? Half. Half of the entire estate. But this is when the wife was childless. She had no children or even grandchildren. Okay? So how much will the husband get? Half. Well, what if she does have children? That is mentioned next. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ. Then if there is for them a child, and walad means one or more, male or female, فَلَكُمُ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْنَا. Then for you, meaning the husband, is a quarter مِمَّا تَرَكْنَا, of what they left. So if a woman dies, the wife, and she leaves children also, living children, and these children could be with the current husband or even from a previous marriage, okay, then the widowed husband will receive a quarter of what she has left. Yani the share of the husband will reduce in the presence of her children. And the remainder, the three-fourths, okay, yani the quarter is going to the husband. What about the remainder three-fourths? It is going to be divided among her children according to the above details. Okay? If there's male and female children, the share of the male will be double that of the female. If there's only two or more daughters, two-thirds. If there is one daughter, half. Okay? So it will be divided according to the details that were mentioned earlier. So basically, the husband will either get a half. The husband's share is half of the estate, and this is when there are no children, or a quarter if there are children. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says, مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُصِينَ بِهَا أَوْدَيْنَ. After a wasiyya, a will, which they willed, meaning the women, willed, bequeathed, أَوْدَيْنٍ, or any debt that they owe. And this shows us that a woman can make a will in regard to her property. Okay, a woman can make a will in regard to her property. And it means that she can borrow money. She can take on a loan. And she can spend her money as she wills, which is why she has debts to pay off. Or she has a will that she has made. Okay, so this was the case of the husband. What about the wife? What if a man dies leaving behind a wife or wives? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ, and for them is a quarter. مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ, of what you left. إِلَّمْ يَكُلْ لَكُمْ وَلَدْ, if you do not have a child. So basically, the wife will receive a quarter of what the husband leaves if the husband dies childless. Okay? If the husband dies childless, the wife will receive how much? A quarter. What if he has more than one wife? What if he has two wives and no children? Well, the quarter then will be divided equally among the two wives. What if he has three wives? Then the quarter will be divided equally among the three wives. What if he has four wives? And the quarter will be divided equally among the four wives. So basically, if he has more than one wife, then the share of each wife will be even lesser. Okay? فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ, if you do have children, meaning if the husband, if a man dies, leaving behind wife and also children, فَلَهُنَّ ثُمُنُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ, then they will have, meaning your wives will have, an eighth of what you have left. So if you have children, they receive an eighth of what you leave. And remember, walad includes son, daughter, one, more, doesn't matter. Okay? And فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُرُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ, what about the remainder? It will go to the children. Okay? And it will be divided according to the details discussed above. Now there's a question. Which spouse inherits? The one with whom is a valid contract of marriage at the time of death, even if the marriage was not consummated. Okay? So, valid contract of marriage. Okay? That is the condition. So, for example, if a man has a mushrik wife, that nikah is not valid. Okay? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden men from marrying mushrik women. So even if they perform a very elaborate nikah ceremony, that nikah is not valid because she is not a Muslim. She is not a kitabi. She's a mushrika, so the marriage is not valid. Anyway, she will not inherit from her deceased husband. And she does not have a legal share. Because remember I mentioned to you, kufr is a, ikhtilafuddin is a barrier. Okay? If a man has a Christian wife, will she inherit? No, she will not. Even though the marriage is valid, there is ikhtilafuddin now. There is difference in religion. So who will inherit? Only a Muslim wife, with whom is a valid marriage contract. Okay? Whether or not the marriage was consummated. Now what if he had divorced her? What if he had divorced her? Well, it depends on the kind of divorce. If it was talaq ba'in, remember? Talaq ba'in. Any such talaq that separates the husband and wife, which is the irrevocable divorce. Or even if it is the revocable divorce, the first or second divorce, but their iddah is over and the two are now separated. They're no longer married. Okay? Or there was khula, or there was fasq. Any the qadi, the judge, annulled the nikah. Does the woman inherit from him? No, she does not. Why? Because she's no longer married to him. Okay? Because the divorce was irrevocable, or because there was baynuna, yani the two were separated, because the iddah was over, right? Because of khul, the two are separated. Because of fasq, the two are separated. They're no longer married. So when they're no longer married, she cannot come and say, oh, he was my husband for so many years, so I should also get something. No, she does not inherit. And in the case where she dies, he does not inherit either. Now what if he had just pronounced talaq and she is still in iddah? Let's say a man gives talaq to his wife, revocable divorce, and she has had only one menstrual cycle. Okay? And she dies. Will he inherit from her? Yes, he will. What if he dies? Will she inherit from him? Yes, she will. Why? Because there is still a relationship between them. He has the right to take her back. Right? Now, what if he gives the third divorce in the illness in which he dies? So, for example, a man is dying. Okay? He's in palliative care. Okay? And when his children start talking about the division of the estate, they realize that, you know, they can't have everything because of their mother. So the man says, you know what? I've already given her two divorces. I don't like her. I'm just going to divorce her a third time so that she's no longer my wife and she doesn't inherit anything from me and you guys take everything. What about this case? Does she inherit? Yes, she inherits. Why? Because he only gave her divorce in order to prevent her from her share of inheritance. So that divorce is not valid. Or rather, he is not in a position to prevent her from taking her share. What if he just married a woman? And what if a man marries a woman and before even the marriage is consummated, he dies or she dies? In that case, is there going to be inheritance? Yes, there will be. He will inherit from her if she dies and she will inherit from him if he dies. Because the nikah is valid. Okay? And this will be min ba'di wasiyatin tusuna biha. After any bequest which you all bequeathed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the men over here, aw daynin, or any loan. Yani, the loan has to be paid off. So, see, in the case of children and parents, same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Division will happen after wasiya and dayn. In the case of the wives, also, the division of the estate will happen after wasiya and dayn. In the case of the husband also, division of estate will happen after wasiya and dayn. وَإِنْ كَانَ رَجُلٌ يُورَثُ كَلَالَةً. And if there is a man, okay, yani the deceased, يُورَثُ, he is inherited, كَلَالَةً as a كَلَالَة. أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٌ, or a woman. Okay? Yani what if there is a man who is dying as a kalala, or a woman who is dying as a kalala? The question is, who is a kalala? Kalala is from the root letters kaf, lam, lam. And basically, this is a person who has no parents or children. Yani they have no relatives above, so no parents, grandparents, or below. Children, grandchildren. Munqatir at-tarafain. And this person is cut off from both sides, does not have any parents, grandparents, does not have children, grandchildren. And what does he have then? Which relatives does he have? He has siblings. Ikhlil, from the same root, ikhlil is what surrounds something. So the border of the flesh around the nail, okay, on your fingertip, okay, that border around your nail, that is also called ikhlil. Okay, ikhlil al-dhufur. So kalala is a person who dies leaving behind no parents, grandparents, or children, grandchildren. However, they have left siblings. Siblings have survived them. Okay? So now these siblings will inherit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ. And he has, meaning the dying person, whether man or woman, this kalala, has a brother or a sister. فَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَ السُّدُسُ. Then for each one of them is a sixth. So if a man or woman has no direct heirs, meaning no father, no mother, no children, but has a brother or a sister, then each receives a sixth. Okay? Each receives a sixth, meaning the brother will receive a sixth, or if it's a sister, she receives a sixth. Okay? So essentially, if the kalala leaves a sibling, whether male or female, then the share is the same, a sixth. You see, a person can have different kinds of siblings, right? You can have a full sibling, okay? And he's someone who has the same mother and father as you. Or you could have a half sibling, okay? A half sibling through your mother, and you have the same mother but different fathers. Or a half sibling through your father. You have the same father but different mothers, right? So there's different types of siblings. This ayah is talking about which siblings? Maternal siblings. Half siblings who are maternal. Yani you and your sibling have the same mother. In that case, the sibling, whether male or female, will inherit a sixth. What about the paternal siblings or full siblings? They're mentioned in the last verse of Suratul Nisa. Ayah number 176 of Suratul Nisa, يَسْتَفْتُونَ قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِي الْكَلَالَ. They ask you for a legal ruling, say Allah gives you a legal ruling concerning the kalala. فَإِنْ كَانُوا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. So if they are more than that, more than what? أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ. More than a brother or a sister. So for example, two brothers or two or more brothers and sisters. Then فَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ فِي الثُّلُثِ. They will be partners in a third. And they will share a third equally among them, whether male or female. So basically, one third of the deceased's estate will be divided equally among the siblings. Which siblings? The maternal siblings. Okay? So if it's one brother and one sister, a third will be divided among them. If it's two brothers, one sister, again, a third will be divided among them equally. Okay? But if, remember, the dying person leaves a grandson, for instance, okay, then the siblings do not get anything. Who will inherit then? The grandson will inherit. مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصَى بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ. After the fulfillment of any will that he enjoined, يُوصَى بِهَا, it was enjoined, أَوْ دَيْنٍ, or a debt, any payment of a debt, غَيْرَ مُضَارٍ, as long as the deceased was not one who intentionally harms his heirs. Any, this division of inheritance will also be done after fulfilling any will and after paying off any debts, as long as غير مضار. Question, how could the deceased cause harm to the heirs through the wasiyah? Well, it's very easy. If the deceased made a will for half of his wealth, that is harming the heirs. Okay? If he makes a will, a wasiyah, in favor of a certain heir, then that is also causing harm, right? So, غير مضار. No one should be harmed through the wasiyah. Okay? وَصِيَّةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. A true injunction from Allah. All of this is a wasiyah to you from Allah. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَلِيمٌ. And Allah is ever-knowing, ever-forbearing. Allah has given this law based on His knowledge, and He is forbearing, He is Halim, that He does not punish you immediately. He gives you time to realize your mistake and repent to Him. Now, if you notice in these verses, over and over again, the wasiyah and the dayn are mentioned, right? That the wasiyah, the will has to be fulfilled and the loan has to be paid off. But I mentioned to you that first the loan has to be paid off, then the wasiyah has to be fulfilled, right? And that is the order in which the Prophet ﷺ did it. He first paid off the loan, then he fulfilled the wills of people. So why is it that every single time it's mentioned in the Quran, wasiyah is mentioned before the deen? Because wasiyah is more honorable compared to a debt, right? And many times people make a wasiyah in order to, you know, give some charity or gift. So it is more noble. And this is the reason why it is mentioned first. And a lot of times in the Quran, when different things are mentioned, first what is more important is mentioned. Sequence does not always indicate chronology. Okay. Secondly, another reason the ulama say is that carrying out the wasiyah is more difficult on the heirs than paying off the debt. When it comes to the debt, the creditor will come and demand his money. So they have to pay it off. But when it comes to wasiyah, they can hide it, right? And also if you think about it, the wasiyah has an immediate impact on the shares of the heirs. It reduces their shares. So they might not want to give it. So this is why wasiyah is mentioned first, to emphasize that it must be fulfilled. And thirdly, another reason the ulama say is that typically a wasiyah is made in favor of those who are in need. And the debt is owed to someone who is wealthy, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the right of the weak before the right of the wealthy. Subhanallah. So wasiyah and then first loan has to be paid off, then wasiyah has to be fulfilled. Wasiyatan min Allah, wallahu alimun halim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tilka hududullah, these are the limits set by Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit him into paradise. But into gardens, jannat. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, underneath which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will abide therein eternally. وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, and that is great success. Now these are the hudud of Allah. Hudud is a plural of had. And had is the edge of something that separates it from what is next to it. So for example, the had of a house is what separates it from the neighboring house. So these are limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. Okay? Yani each share has been specified. A third and not more. Not less. An eighth and not less or more. Right? So you have to respect these hudud. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, and transgresses His limits. يَتَعَدَّ عَيْن دَال دَال, this is to overstep the bounds. يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا, Allah will admit him into fire. خَالِدًا فِيهَا, he will abide there eternally. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and he will have a humiliating punishment. I want you to notice something. For those who obey Allah and follow the law of inheritance and carry it out properly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, Allah will admit him into jannat, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And the one who disobeys Allah and does not abide by this law, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Allah will admit him into the fire and he will abide there eternally. خَالِدِين for the people of paradise and خَالِدًا for the one who ends up in hell. Why? Why do you think so? You can write in the chat. Why is it that the people of paradise are described as khalideen, ones who abide eternally, and the person in hell is described as one who abides eternally? No friends in hell. Exactly. This is the thing, that in Jahannam, even though a person will be with others, he will be alone. And in paradise, there's no loneliness. There is no loneliness in paradise. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah At-Tur, ayah 21, that وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقُنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, and those who believed and whose descendants followed them in faith, we will join them with their descendants. People will be together in paradise. But in Jahannam, each person will be alone. They'll be separated from one another. And even if they're close to one another in terms of proximity, their togetherness is not going to help them. In Surah Az-Zukhruf, ayah 39, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ يَنْفَعْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ إِذْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ فِي الْعَذَابِ مُشْتَرِكُونَ, and never will it benefit you that day when you have wronged, that you are all sharing in the punishment. Being with so many other people in Jannah is not going to help you. So, you see, a lot of times people will not care about the law of inheritance and go against it for the sake of certain people whom they love. They want one person to have more than another. But whoever disobeys Allah will experience extreme loneliness in Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Now, there's a lot that I want to cover regarding these verses. I think it would be good if you review, actually you must review whatever we discussed today. Let this sink in, okay? Let this sink in. And then inshallah, in our next class, I'll mention a couple more things which should help clarify. One thing I would like to recommend is if you have the book Minhajul Muslim, in the second volume, there's an entire chapter dedicated to inheritance. So if you have access to the book, please make sure you read through that chapter and a lot of things will become clear, inshallah. All right, we'll conclude over here for today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.